Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be speaking to you today, and we have just a terrific show. We're going to start off great this week. All right, we have Rich Bagan, my old friend from the National School Public Relations Association. Rich is leaving after 29 years with the, excuse me, 32 years with NSPRA and 29 as executive director. He would have never taken the job had he known it was going to be temporary. Okay, and that's a joke. Okay, and now he's the executive director emeritus, and I looked that up, and that means old, and I'll bring Rich on to talk about that. We also have a very special guest, the new executive director, all right, of NSPRA, Barbara Hunter. And she's going to be with us today. We got both of them on here. Okay, Rich is hanging on for a while to help her get started. And it's really an exciting time for NSPRA, the School Public Relations Association, at a time when school communications are more important than ever, quite obviously. So it's going to be a good show. Hey, we're going to archive the show at our consortium website, which is ace-ed.org. Go over there, check it out, join with us. It's free to educators over at ace-ed.org. Okay, we do a lot of work for equity. It's all about equity, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. Our new issue of Equity and Access magazine, our online journal, is up on site now. All right, and it's our Champions of Equity issue. You'll love this issue. We invite you to please read it, enjoy it. Again, ace-ed.org. Join with us, and please share the link, okay, with your colleagues and friends. And by the way, we do tweet out all these shows over at EduTalk Radio. We also do it at Access 2, the number 2, Equity ED. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs. Facebook is my name, Larry Jacobs, as well as Facebook, but Education Talk Radio. That's right. I lost it for a second. Let me bring on Rich and Barbara. Okay, there's Rich. There's Barbara. Hey, the emeritus director, huh? That means old.
Hey, Larry, but you know really well that you'll always be older than me.
I know. We went to college together, Barbara. Did you know that? Did he tell you that?
I did not know, but that's a fascinating fact.
It is. It's never going to win you a bar trivia contest, but it is a fact. Okay, Richard and I went to college together. I'm 1 year ahead of him, so I'm not emeritus yet, though. That's, I guess maybe that's the good news. Congratulations, Rich. Actually, let me be serious. 32 years with the organization, which your brother started. Okay, 29 as executive director. Okay, that's really saying something, man. Okay, and I'm sorry it was a temporary job, but there'll be others in your future. Not to worry.
Well, no, thank you. Right. No, it was and is a good run. And, I have some people say, how in the world could you stay in the same job?
Yeah, you did.
For all
it,
those years. But what they don't know is how much the job changes almost every year.
Yeah.
Because of issues and because of people and finances, so it's always a challenge. But we've had a very good run, and Ennsboro is doing well. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And Barb, if you stay as long as Rich, you'll be almost 50 when you leave.
Oh, I like you, Larry, already. That's
thank
awesome.
You, Barb, and I like you too. Okay. Right. And it's really something. Congratulations to both of you. You know I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Barb, let's start with Rich. Rich, give us a quick history of NSPRA and put it into where Barb's going to be taken over and also into the context of today, where, as I said at the beginning of the show, school communications are the big thing these days. Okay? And by the way, I forgot to mention, in our new issue, and Barbara, I have to put you on the list. In the new issue, and you're welcome to go over there over at ace-ed.org, there's a beautiful column from NSPRA in there, in our new issue of Equity and Access. I'll get you all involved in this. Go ahead, Rich. Go ahead.
We have, Alanda Stefan from Georgia, one of our accredited members and our vice president of diversity engagement,
wrote
the column. So we're real pleased about that.
Right, and she would be here with us. She would be here with us today, but she's counting votes. Joke, Georgia.
Yeah,
joke. Sorry, we'll move on.
Yeah, so we're answering emails in order to make that happen.
Yeah.
No, so Ennsburg actually was founded and started in 1935, and not many people knew about us back then, and that still can be a problem today at times, but basically it was more of a publicity-driven kind of organization and doing, trying to get good publicity for schools, and state departments of education were really big within Ennsburg at that time, because Ennsburg was founded by with the first executive director and the board, and they were out of the NEA, National Education Association, so they used their affiliates in order to get things going. So for many years it ran that route until NEA decided in the 60s, when negotiations started popping up and people taking sides of what they wanted, they actually asked a bunch of us to, we were actually housed at NEA at that point, and AASA, two principals groups, I think there was another one in there, and then it was their research person. We were all booted out in a way, and had to find other places, and so we went with AASA back then.
Wow.
And actually elementary school principals. We were all in the same building for a while. And so from there it started with the management versus union kinds of issues. And that all grew. But then we aligned ourselves on the administrative side, and we have been working with NEA and AFT now forever with Learning First Alliance, and we're all in this together, as you say.
I agree.
As you said early up, that communication is just much more important now than it's seemingly like it ever been. It's almost hard to say that because we always thought it was that important. But boy,
it always has been.
With COVID and people needing, the whys behind decisions and trying to engage them as best we can, it's just more important than ever. So that's where we are right now, and the organization, had some ups and downs over the years financially, but we came out of that, and we're financially stronger than we've ever been, so that is a real positive as well, because, frankly, with what we see on the horizon in education funding, it's going to be difficult in the next year or two, so
absolutely,
I'm glad we're in this position of strength at the moment.
And what gives you the strength, if I may, and Barb, I'll be with you in a second, but what gives you the strength, part of that is the success, and I just want to talk about this, the success of your summer meeting, your national conference, okay? And it happened this past year, and I believe it was all virtual this past year, right, in July?
Yeah, we had a virtual meeting. We didn't actually call it the seminar, but we were one of the fortunate ones because we had an insurance pandemic rider, believe it or not.
Oh my God! Really?
And so we wound up being made whole by not having the meeting.
Oh my God!
And
I never heard of that.
Really,
wow.
Yeah, not that many people have it. Our insurance folks told us that only 15% of the people who buy a cancellation policy. Now we've always had that, but we also had for last, probably 10 years or so, we've had hurricane insurance and then also a pandemic insurance. So
wow, that's wild.
You know, it got to the point, since you're an old Philly guy too, remember Legionnaires disease?
Oh, yeah. The old Bellevue Stratford Hotel was where it started. I remember well. Right.
And I just remembered that, and I just said, and it was only like $300 or something, which was pretty minimal for that kind of insurance. And we got lucky we had it, and Lloyd's of London came through and made us whole. So
wow,
that
really
helped
out. Are you serious, Lloyd's of London?
Yeah, it was Lloyd's of London. It was the main carrier for it. So we were negotiating with their representative. In any event, so the seminar that you mentioned though is, one of the best things that we do, our members tell us that, is also good to us from the economic side, and it's a win-win. And so it has been growing every year. We got over 1,000 the last time we did it, which was in D.C.
And how many exhibitors?
There were about 25 or 30 exhibitors.
Yeah. It's all growing.
Yeah, so that's real positive. And now we're facing what we're all facing with. And everyone's facing it. It's not woe is me. It's like woe is
us. But most of them didn't have pandemic insurance, so you're very lucky. But
something's going to happen.
And hopefully with the vaccine, something real will happen. Okay?
Yeah.
If we get a little bit lucky here and all that. And Barb, while we're on the subject, Barbara, are you there?
I am.
Okay, Barb, just so you know, I own a company that sells elephant stampede insurance. Now, you never know when this is going to happen.
You absolutely never know. Absolutely.
Circus comes through town, the train derails. Next thing you know, right next to wherever you're having it, there's an elephant stampede. Okay, I want you to think about this, and I'll have my company get in touch with you now that you're taking over.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk offline about that.
There you go. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you order by 5 o'clock today, there's a 15% discount.
But wait, there's more.
And a free set of windows for your house. So there you go.
Oh, my goodness.
All this is on Cyber Monday. So
yeah,
that's right.
That's right. Order by 5 today. Barb, what have you – I have it here, but I'd rather you tell – well, I can. You want me to tell – what have you been doing? You're going to take over this wonderful organization, NSPRA. I know you are an expert in this. What's your background? Tell people.
Well, thank you, Larry, for inviting me to be on your show this morning. It's
the first of many.
Well, I've essentially spent my whole career in school communications, and I started out many years ago with AASA, way back in the late 80s, Rich Miller was the executive director then, and that might be a familiar name.
It's not,
and
that's okay. I wasn't into business back then. So, yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
I was editor of the School Administrator magazine for many years, and then had an opportunity to serve as a communications director for Alexandria City Public Schools, which,
that's nice,
as you know, is in Northern Virginia, right outside of Washington, D.C., very urban, very diverse district. Always something going on there. We had lots of great visits from high-level politicians like Bill Clinton and George W. Bush and Laura Bush, and because we're right across the river and they needed essentially a school background to elevate their remarks. But did that, and then went to the National School Boards Association as communications director for several years, which I absolutely loved. Great group of people over there. And then
you must know Charlotte. You must know Charlotte.
Do know Charlotte.
Yeah.
Yes. And then spent about 7 years in Fairfax County Public Schools as assistant superintendent for communications and community outreach. And then the last 5 years, I've led my own company, Hunter Communications, doing helping districts across the country with their communications, customer service, crisis communications, community engagement, all kinds of fun things. And then, it's a unique background that I was very fortunate to have, and both at the national level and local level. And it's just been this wonderful, this job, this becoming executive director,
it's
a wonderful
so cool.
culmination of experience. And of course, this has been my association for 20 years. I've been a member of this association and been to countless conferences and served on the board of NSPRA, as well as been a president of a local chapter.
Mm-hmm.
So it just fits, a wonderful fit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It fits. And so, you know where we are now, you know where we've been, but let's not worry about where we've been. Everything's changed. Okay, where we are now, and hopefully we'll get a vaccine, as I said a few minutes ago, okay, but who knows, and who knows how it's going to impact schools? We don't know. What do you see as the future of the organization, and especially in light of the fact that suddenly school communications became so ultra important, like Rich said, they always have been, but that was a well-kept secret. We all knew that, okay? But others did not. Okay. Now, suddenly, they realize if you don't have a good communications system and someone to lead it, set up well, when the time comes, it's going to be a disaster. It's the same thing that happened with our equity and access. Everybody knew mm-hmm. they were challenges, okay? But when March hit and the COVID hit, okay, all of a sudden they came flying in into the red zone because they were not mm-hmm. prepared. So now we mm-hmm. have the rationale for being prepared. We know now what can possibly happen. Okay, so where do you see it now, and where do you see it going, Madam Executive Director, if I may? And by the way, before you begin, let me just say Rich has told you about the airplane and SPRA-1, am I correct? The private jet?
No, I don't have the keys to the private jet yet.
This is a problem. Okay, don't let him use that. Once he's out, he's out. It's yours. That's all I have to say. And,
Okay, I don't know.
I don't know where he keeps it. Somewhere down there, Rockville, perhaps. Just check it
I'll
out.
I'll start searching.
Check it out. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, I think, Larry, in many ways, this pandemic has really become a disruptor to public education, right? So what public education and our school communications is going to look like as we're moving through this and as we get out on the other side of it, I think it's really going to be transformative. I think you're right in terms of school communications has really proven its value in this very difficult time, right? Over and over and over again. And as more, you know, as we see conflicts arise between parents who want their kids back in school and teachers who are very concerned about their own health issues, I think school communicators can really bridge that gap and engage folks in ways around civil discourse and community engagement, and also serve a very important role as the advisor and counselor to the superintendent and school board,
which
is something that we do quite often, but usually behind a closed door, and we don't really get, you know, because those are confidential, private conversations. But those are incredibly valuable to leaders as they struggle with these really tough decisions about virtual learning versus in-person learning. So, I think the next few months, I want to be listening and learning from our members, those folks who are out in the field doing this amazing work, and mm-hmm. hearing what they have to say about what they need from ENSPRA, and certainly building on the strengths, particularly the financial strengths of this organization, its wonderful reputation that's already been established that Rich Bagan has led. It's in a very exciting time and a transformative time, I think.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and we have to take advantage of the pandemic, as horrible as it is, and I always say that, is a opportunity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It exposed
mm-hmm.
a lot of things. All right, and we have to correct those things where things needed to be corrected, and boy, there were a lot of them, okay? And the value, not school communications themselves, but the value of school communications done properly, and that's key phrase, done properly, because the NSPRA folks are professionals in the field, all right, like you were, okay, like you are, Barb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But too often, it's given to someone who's an intelligent person, perhaps someone on the superintendent's cabinet, but they know nothing about PR and community relations,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they think sending out a memo or something, but in this day and age where social media controls the message, the school district must control its message, okay? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. You're going to be an excellent leader, I have to tell you. And as I mentioned, you have the column – okay, in our Equity and Access magazine, and NSPRA has been doing that for quite a while. I want that to continue, quite obviously, Barb. We'd like to introduce
Wonderful.
You to our folks, okay, and keep you guys totally involved. But there has been this emphasis. Oh, believe me, it's our pleasure. Equity and Access. And since that's dear to us, put that into communications, okay? Put the two things together, school communications, school PR. Okay, and equity and access. Okay, please, go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, as you know, INSPRA has developed, or as you may not know, we have a diversity communications toolkit that we have available free to our members and then for a nominal sum for non-members that really help school communicators think about how to reach their diverse audiences. And I think one of the most interesting things about this pandemic is and virtual learning is all of a sudden we got windows literally into our students' homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I know that some districts have been working on is perhaps developing a neutral Zoom background or, of course, having kids turn their video cameras off. Of course, having the tools itself are critically important to have in-person learning. That's that it is absolutely essential. And of course, the internet access to make sure kids, you know, have MiFis in their homes or have,
right,
you know, some sort of discounted internet service through a local service provider. But most definitely, we have to think about cultural competency and how we can, the district can up its cultural competency, its understanding of different cultures of the families they serve and how best to reach those families. I was so fortunate in Fairfax County to work in that system where we had a parent liaison, sometimes two, in every single school, whose job it was to reach out in their family's native language and make sure that they could navigate a very complicated school system. These are all things that I think English speakers, generally middle-class folks, take for granted. I mean, they know how to work the system.
That's right.
People, you know, families, many families need help who've just arrived from this country or don't speak the language well. Absolutely, they need help to do that. And then, of course, creating welcoming parent and family centers. I think that's critical, you know, because you never get a second chance to make a first impression, right, as they say.
That's right.
And to make sure that there's a welcome center for all families who come into the district. I think that's really important, and especially for those who are non-English speakers and not from our culture, you know, if you will. But then, and then, of course, translation interpretation services is critical in making sure that we pay attention to, it sounds pretty grassroots, but I think a lot of this work really is grassroots to make sure all of our families and students are feeling welcome and included and can perform at the high level that we're expecting all kids to perform at. We have to be really cognizant of those kinds of issues.
Boy, you got that right, too. The rigorous curriculum idea, it means so much. I'll give you a good thing. You might want to pass this around. I did a podcast last week with my friend Peter Finch, who's an assistant superintendent in West Valley, Washington. They have a huge migrant education challenge. A lot of the students are migrants, you know, out in the apple-picking area the harvesting area, whatever you want to call it, vegetation area of Washington State. And they were having trouble getting people involved. So what they did, they got a grant, and they created a system where they go to the people's houses. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that made these people, again, there was a communication problem because a lot of these people are from poor Mexican families in this particular case and were very afraid to go to school.
Yes.
All right? And, you know, that's just a cultural thing. You know, they were scared.
Mm-hmm.
And when the school reached out to them the other way. But that's my point of a school community relations and communications. And it all stems from, the right kind of, if I may, PR. I like to call it communications as well. But it all stems from what you guys have been doing for years. And people have to be aware of this. Okay? It is time.
Yeah.
And I've said this on the show so many times with Rich. And I'll say it so many times with you, Barb. You guys have, I think, how many members do you have? How many school districts have a professional PR person? Do either of you know?
Go ahead, Rich.
We know how many members we have, and most of them are from school districts. But so we have about 1,910 or so members, and I would say 10%, just I guess 90% of them are school district people. But sometimes there are two or three members in one district.
And think about that, yeah, because there was 12,000 school districts.
Right.
Okay, right. And in an age of communications, think about this. In an age of communications, okay, the percentage is far too low for the needs that are out there. And Barb just described, you know, for people who don't speak English, for all these cultural differences, et cetera, you have to have somebody who knows what they're doing. How many times have we said this, Rich?
Just about every show.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable. I'm trying here, you know. I'm trying.
Yeah,
but boy.
No, well, we appreciate that. But, you know, one of the things – go ahead, Barb.
Go ahead, Rich. Well, one of the things, because many of those districts are small and rural, right, and don't have the budget to afford a school communications professional, that doesn't negate the importance of communications, and
that's
we need
point.
To be able to equip the superintendent, whoever is leading that charge in that particular district, to be comfortable and familiar with how to have, you know, what are those best practices in communication, how to reach out to families, that sort of thing. So, you know, it's, yes, we have to support and help our school communicators, and we also have to help those districts who don't have school communicators.
That's exactly right. And by the way, I'd reach out to the ESAs, the Ed Service Associations, Ed Service Agencies, and, you know, get them involved because they're helpful to these small rural districts.
Yes.
All right. And
yes,
you know, absolutely. They can really help coordinate a message, but that's for the future stuff. Barb, you're going to have a good time with this. Are you full on now? Are you literally?
Yes, I started November 16th. Was my first day, and I hit the ground running. We're already
now. Let me did you as the new executive director? Did you let people take off for Thanksgiving? Because you shouldn't have. You have to put your foot down at the beginning.
I said absolutely yes. Everybody gets to eat turkey. Let them eat.
They
turkey.
Can eat that at their desk, Barb. I think that's a problem. We'll have to talk about this. You've got to keep your. You're not going to let them take off Christmas too, right? Next thing you know, Barb, they'll want to put more coal chunks into the coal burner. Okay? I learned that from a Dickens story. You got to keep people under control, for goodness sakes, when
that's
you settle
right.
in the
that's
new
right.
job, you know? Right, it's that simple.
Thank
that's
you,
why there were workhouses and prisons. Okay? So we'll go with that. And, Rich, when is your official last day?
February 28th.
Oh, so God, you'll be here for a while.
Thank
right.
I love the way you said it.
Yeah,
like,
I feel bad for
there.
Barb. That's
right.
terrible. It's so sad. Okay.
No, well, I have a few things that I've been wanting to get done, and one of them is
yeah.
the board yeah, approved the history of Ennsboro.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that, and I'm planning to take some vacation days that I never could take before. So,
yeah, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm looking good forward for to doing the work and also having some free time. So
that's excellent. And how's and now for the more personal thing, how's your grandson, your brand new first grandson, who you saw this weekend?
Yep, he just left about 10 minutes ago, I believe.
Oh, there you go.
They were here from Saturday through breakfast today. So
I didn't realize they came up. I thought you went down there.
Oh, no. Well, it's only D.C. It's only 20 miles, so it's
yeah,
not
still,
bad.
Still.
But
yeah.
Still, right. No, we had quarantine for all of that, and so we were we passed the test, and so we were able to have them here, and that was great. And that was great. And
you know, Barb, being a new parent is nuts enough, okay? And you're so protective. But now with COVID, Rich and Carolyn both had to wear hazmat suits the entire time. Okay?
It almost seemed that way.
I believe me, and I understand, you know. It's hard enough being a new parent and then during this COVID crap. Especially, by the way, Rich's daughter-in-law is an infectious disease specialist. So even more so.
Yes. Yes, right. Yes.
Even more so. So watch out when you have lunch with them. Watch out for lungworms.
Well,
okay.
That happy note.
Well,
there you go. All right. So Heck, all right. Hey, it is great to have you both here, okay? Glad you had a good week last week. This is a whole new era, and Barbara, you're going to do great. Let me wish you the very, very best.
Thank you, Larry, so much for having me and those
pleasure.
Kind wishes.
Okay, and I know you're away today. I hope everything goes well where you are and fly home safe, okay?
Okay, great.
Okay. Thank you
Thank
both.
You.
Thanks, Larry. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Barbara Hunter is the new executive director of NSPRA, NSPRA.org, the National School Public Relations Association. And they have a wonderful column in our new issue of Equity and Access magazine over at ace-ed.org. Rich Bagan, who will be here through February, okay, is the executive director emeritus. Okay, pretty good. Thank you both. Best of luck to both of you. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.